It's the Morning Rush, live at 5.
Well, it's our morning meeting. That's why we have the morning meeting.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to open up the microphones and let people join us. If you're wondering what you're missing, we're talking about what we're going to have Dr. Dworkin talk about on the show this morning.
Yeah, I'm just reading this article you sent me last night in the LA Times. New data affirms it. LA County school safety policies are working as COVID rates are low. And I'm wondering, do we send that to the good doctor?
The reason I'm thinking we might be good is parents might find it a bit reassuring.
Yeah.
Because the kids have been back in school for a week and a half or whatever it is now. They didn't all go back at the same time, but that it doesn't have to go bad. We don't have to be Alberta. We just have to keep being a little bit careful, that's all. So, yeah, maybe there's a better one. He sent a chart overnight. I don't know if you got it.
Yeah, you know what? I accidentally deleted the message because I ran out of memory on my phone this morning, and I realized I didn't read the text first.
Yeah, all it was from a website that I use as well, Worldwide Statistics. And it's a bar graph. Now, I don't know if he pre-selected which countries he wanted to look at.
Okay.
Or, because you can do that, or if this is like the top 10 countries in the world with the reproductive number of COVID-19 or C-19, as we once tried to call it.
Didn't work.
France, for example, has a reproductive number of 0.62. Remember, one is the balance point.
Yeah.
You're below one, you're shrinking. You're above one, it's growing. It means one person passes the disease along to one other person. Therefore, the rate's not dropping. So Japan is down there, Spain, France, Italy, United Kingdom. United Kingdom, right? They had the big Delta wave. They're down at 0.91. The worldwide average is 0.97. And you can see that if you follow the worldwide daily numbers as I do. You can see that they're on a bit of a, we are around the world on a bit of a downswing. At the top of this graph, though, and like I said, I don't know if this makes us the worst place in the world or not, but above United States, Australia, Germany, South Korea, Taiwan, United Kingdom, Italy, France, Spain, and Japan is Canada. At 1.36.
Ooh, that's not a good number.
The next closest on this chart is the United States at 1.18. That is a little discouraging. And by a little, I mean it's,
yeah,
it's a lot.
That's not an ideal situation.
It's a lot discouraging. So that means that Canada has the fastest growing COVID rates in the world. If he didn't just pre-select certain countries. But it certainly means a lot of countries we compare ourselves to are doing way better than we are right now. I would expect a huge part of that is Alberta. I think Ontario's reproductive rate was just over one the past couple of days, right? 1.03, 1.06, in and around there. So still not great, but it's Alberta. I mean, their rates are through the roof.
Yeah, I was doing some reading on them last night, and it's like, whoa. Turns out...
Anybody who sent me texts over the past 3 or 4 months, the anti-lockdown people and anti-mass, and who said, see, we ought to do what Alberta's doing. They're treating it like it's endemic. That's what we should be doing right now in Ontario. We need to open up more. We need to... I remember saying to those people at the time, we talked about it on the air, Matt. I said at the time, that seems a little premature to me with Alberta. I think, Annette, you and I talked about it on TV, too. I said,
yep.
Well, I don't know. Their vaccine rates are not that high, and they're taking all restrictions off. I hope it works.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Now they're talking about closing operating rooms in the children's hospital there because all the doctors are working in the ICU, treating COVID patients, 91% of whom are unvaccinated. 91%. You look at the numbers of cases every day in Ontario of people who had breakthrough infections. We'd have a couple of hundred people a day and a handful in hospitals.
Right.
And we would be carefree as much as you can be in this situation. We'd be in great shape. but there's a lot of people unvaccinated. And it was always like, it's just math, right?
We get excited
about 80% numbers. Of the people are vaccinated. That's a great number. Eligible mm-hmm. people. That's a great number for sure. But it means 20% are not, plus all the kids under 12 are not. So you end up having 3-4 million people in Ontario unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And they tend to be a lot of the same people who don't like to wear masks.
Right.
And they congregate together. And so it's going to spread. And that's what's happening in Alberta. And it's happening here among the unvaccinated as well. We're all going to suffer because of this unvaccinated wave.
Well, and one of the areas we're seeing that suffer is in the schools. The numbers are higher within the schools than a lot of the experts predicted. They knew, you know, we've heard from Dr. Paul, they expected that we would see cases coming out of schools. This was to be expected. But
Paul Liotis said yesterday, though, that all the cases they've seen so far have been people who came to school with it.
Yeah, but that's the point I'm about to make. It's coming from home, likely then around adults who are unvaccinated. And are getting it and spreading it and whatnot. And then it's coming through into the schools, and then it spreads around the schools, and then the schools have to close classrooms.
Right. Thanks a lot, unvaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, again, this rests on the shoulders of adults who know what decision they have in front of them. The young ones under, 11 and under don't have that choice yet. So as adults, you would think that we would be making the choice that would then benefit everyone, including those young children. So it's then making its way into the schools. The education minister speaking yesterday saying he's ready to throw more resources at the schools if possible. We put that question out, what are you going to do if your school shut down to viewers? And we like it's an overwhelming response we've had. Dozens and dozens and dozens of parents weighing in saying, well, look, I'm already fed up. I'm already frustrated. This is already, causing a lot of stress in our family because it's just a matter of time. I don't know about you. I mean, maybe it's different for you, Bill, because your kids are a little bit older, but you could still face this in your schools. Every night I go to bed and I check my email and I think, okay, we got through another day without an email from the school. Because I remember last November when we got it.
Yeah. And we're certainly still concerned.
Yes.
But I'll say not to the level we were before the kids were vaccinated.
Yeah. And right now, I mean, what that means is, missing school. And then also with the variant, they're even more at risk of getting ill. We are hearing of more children being sicker than where they were if they were getting COVID a year ago because of the Delta.
I talked to a teacher yesterday. Well, Sylvie did, but we hire him as one of the kids' tutors.
Mm.
But he's also a high school teacher in Ottawa. He said, I got to go get tested. I've got a lot of symptoms. I got to get tested for COVID. And his symptoms sounded just like our daughter's earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
He tested negative and he talked to his doctor about it. They said, we're seeing a lot of this right now. There's a cold going around.
There is. Yeah, there's
a bad cold going around.
And that too is tripping everybody up, right?
I wonder though, if you're vaccinated like he is, by the time you get tested, maybe you've already cleared it out of your system and you had it.
That's possible.
Like, is a cold that much more contagious than Delta, that there's this cold going around and half the people I know seem to have it?
Yeah, even with wearing masks.
I thought it was ragweed earlier in the week. Now I'm not sure. Maybe it was this cold.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're still wearing masks. So how's the cold spreading?
Right. And if a cold can spread, so can COVID or SARS-CoV-2, because they're both coronaviruses. And we keep hearing how Delta is so much more transmissible.
Dangerous.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that must be tough because you can't vaccinate your kids. They're not eligible. So you're just waiting. And yet, let me ask you the question I asked you yesterday. Do you want them to stay home?
I do not.
Right. So
I want them in school. That's where they belong.
And that's not just because you're a mom and you'd rather the kids get out the door.
Of course.
It's because they need it.
Yeah. It's because that's where they get an education. Teachers are trained educators. They know how to teach our children. I'm not an educator. I'm a mom. There's a difference.
Right. And my kids in high school, they have the ability to learn on their own a little bit more. And even then, we've augmented it with tutoring.
Yeah. My grade two student doesn't know how to do that.
Not everyone can afford to do that.
No. That's,
So, and
not when the price of everything, like gas and food, is all going up.
After summer with them, we're happy to see them go out the door, too. Just get out.
Oh, well, that too. Yeah. I don't want to see them until 2:40 in the afternoon every day. Yeah.
Please go. Rosie, what's happening?
You know, it's going to be a hot and humid day. Get ready for it. Right now, it's nice. You got 10 degrees, clear skies, but we're going up to high of 27. It's going to feel more like 34. So we're hearkening back to the days of, what, mid-August. You remember that heat wave we had and everybody was sweating it out? It's going to feel a little bit like that today. Slight chance of a late afternoon shower. Tonight down to 17, so it's going to be pretty warm. And then Saturday, chance of early morning showers. Then it's going to look pretty nice, 23 your high. And then Sunday, sunny skies, 23. Election Day Monday, sunny and 25.
You know what you could do today, Rosie, because it's going to be so hot and humid?
What?
I have a great idea for you.
What?
Stay home and watch Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, my God, stop it.
I'm going to watch it. Phil, you sold me on it.
You know how many notes I got last night from people saying, you're messing with Matt, huh?
Yeah.
I still last night thought, so Annette missed it. I said how much I hated Hamilton. Like, I despised it.
Okay.
And so Bill went to watch and he came back.
Knowing that I hate
musicals.
Yeah.
I just hate them.
Oh, well, you and me both.
I'm not a big fan of rap.
Yeah.
But then I watched it and operas have that part where they sing talk, you know? I'm going down the stairs.
This is so funny.
Right? So, but the rap replaces that, and it actually works better than the recitative in opera. It just seemed more natural.
It works.
The songs are brilliant. The dancing is great. The music, the melody. Oh, I loved it. Oh, I loved it.
Okay, so this is so funny because I was under attack on CTV Morning Live yesterday by Rosie and Leslie. I mean, Leslie, I thought, was going to no longer be my friend because I said I don't like musicals. And he couldn't even look at me. And then they were naming off musicals. Like, what? You like Phantom of the Opera? And like, they're naming all these musicals. And I'm like,
No.
I love plays, just not musicals.
Yeah, not Phantom because it's too boring. Wicked, amazing. Wicked was amazing. Your girls would probably love it. And I named the classic, the one that everybody's seen 10,000 times, The Lion King.
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay, so here's the thing. When you say Hamilton, Bill, I got a text message from a friend right after that segment who said, what's the matter with you? Hamilton is the best.
Let me tell you.
Do I need to watch Hamilton?
When Bill was describing it and how much he loved it, I was looking at him going, is this Bill? But he had so much enthusiasm and he described it beautifully. I went, okay, I gotta watch Hamilton. But Matt's like, nope, he hates it. Matt loves Come From Away, but he does not like Hamilton.
Okay, so where am I watching this?
Fiddlesticks to Come From Away.
It's on Disney Plus, I think, or
streaming.
Apple. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
I think it's Disney.
Okay.
It's Disney.
Okay.
If we're still talking about Hamilton.
Yeah, we still are. We still are.
Yes. Yeah.
When Leslie came in
to do
his show.
You might have convinced me, Bill.
When Leslie came in to do a show, he said to us at the end of the show here yesterday, he said, this is a crazy world. I was with my gay friends last night. We're talking about football. Now I'm with my straight friends. We're talking about musical.
Topsy-turvy.
The world is upside down. Yeah. Thank you for the good news, Rosie. We appreciate it.
All right.
You're welcome.
All right. Let you guys go and further talk her into watching.
Go watch Hamilton. Have fun.
When they have the lights flash and the sound of cannons explode and all the dancers jump in the air and pose like they've been blown into the air. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was walking the dog last night and I stopped and, like, he's messing with me, right? Like, that was 12 hours ago, but he's messing with me, right?
The last thing I would ever do is make anyone watch a musical if they didn't have to. It's not who I am. Is he playing it in the background now?
Lift it up.
He's all in. And he wrote his first refrain, a testament to his pain. Well, the word got around. They said, this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education. Don't forget from whence you came. And the world is going to know your name. What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton.
All right.
And it's funny also that I mention.
Just wasn't feeling it that day.
See, the Toronto Sun's got a campaign going. Front page. I don't know if it's on the Ottawa Sun page yet. I haven't looked.
I haven't seen it yet.
Voting for Bernier is a vote for Trudeau. That's their campaign. That's their point. And I would say they're right on the money. All you do is siphon votes away from the Conservatives in close ridings and give Justin Trudeau. So, good for you. Hey, by the way, How does Justin Trudeau get to campaign against Jason Kenney? Do you remember when the panic first broke out? Who shut down the country? Who shut it down? Justin Trudeau. Remember Theresa Tam on TV? We're going to have to stay home. Remember that? Why didn't he step in and say, no, Alberta, you're not going to open again. It's not endemic yet. No, it's still a pandemic. You're not going to do it. Why didn't he take responsibility for that? Why didn't he use the Emergency Measures Act or whatever he had to do to shut down or at least be more vocal about it in the beginning? Like at the very least, was anyone in the federal government saying to Alberta, ooh, don't do this. Do not do this. It's going to be bad. No. If it had gone well, he'd be out there taking credit. I'm the COVID-19 prime minister who fixed the world. It's gone badly. Oh, Jason Kenney, you know, if you elect O'Toole, you get more Kenney. Why? What if you elect O'Toole, you get more Ford? Our numbers in Ontario are amazing, especially compared to Alberta's, because we delayed, we halted the steps at three. We brought in vaccine passports, granted reluctantly, but that's weeks ago now they made that announcement. And everybody's getting ready for it. People are starting to get vaccinated in greater numbers. And it kicks in next week. So Alberta just announced theirs yesterday. So it's very frustrating that the government now gets, the federal government gets to just throw a premier under the bus, having said or done nothing all along. Just me? Am I the only one thinking that? Hopefully I'm not the only one now. I was trying to find I had the photograph of the front page of the Sun.
Yeah, it's in the text from Brian.
So you've got, it's very funny actually. You have Maxime Bernier putting a crown on Justin Trudeau's head, and he's in a big red chair. This may be mock-up, may not be an actual photograph. Vote Bernier, get Trudeau. Planning to cast your ballot for the PPC, then you might as well hand the election to the Liberals. And then it refers you to Brian Lilly's column on page 3. He joins us every Friday anyway, so he'll be here at 8 o'clock this morning. The Morning Rush, morning meeting live at 5.
It's the Morning Rush, live at 5.
All right, so on TV, I want to talk about, let them know, I want to talk about how Justin Trudeau continues to lead the Liberal Party if he gets a minority. I don't think he can. Unless he gets a majority government, he has to resign. He said the country was ungovernable, and that's why he called an election. And if we go right back to where we were, and that looks like the most likely outcome now, he has to step down. And I would say more than that, more than just as leader of the party, that's a given. He's got to quit as Liberal leader. I think his party should say, let somebody else have a chance to govern. And you can do that. You can have fewer seats than the other party and govern. And before anybody tells me no, when the Conservatives were in the lead, there was every newspaper practically in the country was writing about how Justin Trudeau could still govern even if he has fewer seats than the Conservatives. It's part of our parliamentary system. He's allowed to do that. So they were softening up the public so that their beloved JT could hang on to power. Well, the Toronto Sun wasn't pushing that idea. But though, it was starting to pop up on mainstream media websites. I'm like, here we go again. There's, in case Justin loses, here's a way he can still be prime minister. So if it's true for him, it's also true for O'Toole. He could be allowed to say, look, I'm going to govern. And I'm going to govern like a majority. And parties can either support me or not support me on a budget or any other confidence motion. Why not? Certainly not unprecedented. I thought it was a bit ridiculous that you guys went back to Mackenzie King when you wanted to make the argument for JT. But, hey, it's your argument. So if it holds true for Justin, it holds true for anyone else, right? So that's what I want to talk about.
Makes sense, yeah. Just as leader, I don't see how he gets past it. I don't think he resigns on election night. But I don't even know that he lasts into the next couple of days after that.
Yeah, I would hope that they would have a leadership review.
Yeah.
They can hold it. They can do a party, their convention out in Kokanee.
It's a nice symbolism, isn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about. I just picked a random place.
Yeah, exactly.
You experience what I said differently.
Great place this time of year.
So what are you working on for trending?
I've got a strange story that's starting to get a lot of attention, mostly in the United States, but it's starting to creep up here as well. There's this woman who went on a trip. She's from Utah. She went on a road trip across the country with her boyfriend, and then only her boyfriend came back. And he's not really saying what happened. He's lawyered up. He's not saying what went on.
Really?
Yeah, she was reported missing.
Well, that's pretty obvious then, isn't it?
Well.
What do you mean, well?
I think so, but I don't want to. I mean, the guy, I don't know.
You go on vacation with your girlfriend or wife, you come back alone and you don't want to talk?
Right, and it's like, where's, in this case, Gabby? And he won't say.
Because if she tripped and fell off a cliff, you'd have called 911.
You would have told someone about that when it happened, right?
If she went out just for a jog and didn't come back, you'd have called 911.
Yeah.
You don't just come home and shut the up.
Right? So it's been 6 days since she's been reported missing.
Oh, that's not good.
And it's now only starting to get... I really started hearing about this yesterday. So sorry if anyone's been hearing about this before. And there's now police body cam footage of when they were pulled over a couple of weeks ago on their road trip and they had been fighting. That's the sound that I have.
All right. That's coming up 2 hours.
We don't know
from
where
now.
She is.
Matt has a mystery for us 2 hours from now. Sadly, it's a real person who's missing. That's not a Netflix show.
Oh, no.
The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.